السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاۃ والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. اما بعد، فقد قال اللہ تبارک وتعالی فی القرآن المجید، اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، والعصر ان الانسان لفی خسر الا الذین آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر، صدق اللہ العظیم. وقد قال رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، نعمتان مغبون فیہما کثیر من الناس، الصحة والفراغ، وكما قال علیہ الصلاة والسلام. الحمدللہ، in today's times the different vehicle manufacturers, they have made some nice motor cars, and on those motor cars also they have got lovely wheels and different types of mags that make the motor cars look very beautiful and give the cars a nice ride, and the passengers also that are in that motor car, they feel very, very safe. But sometime when there is a puncture, one wheel is missing, then they have to take out the spare, and a lot of those motor cars, they have got in the boot what they call a donut tire. So the donut tire, when you put it on, it spoils the entire look of the car. If somebody is driving that motor car also, he doesn't want to go any long distance, he doesn't feel safe with that tire also, it doesn't look nice also. So like that in life sometime, we have got our great akabirin, our great mashayikh, in whose hands we feel very, very comfortable, who make deen look so beautiful, who explain deen in what a very, very simple way. But in the absence of our mashayikh, then sometime you have to have the donut tire. And that is what is happening today, that you have got the donut tire here. So make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He give me the tawfiq to say something that is going to be beneficial to me, beneficial to you, and something that is going to be for the upliftment of the ummah and for humanity at large. What I'm saying to you about this donut tire, I'm not just saying it. It is not just words. Wallahi, those that are blessed to be musallis of this masjid, those that are blessed to live around this masjid, to see a Shaykh, a Kamil on a daily basis, to read Salah in the company of a Shaykh, a Kamil on a daily basis, this is an extremely great gift and great boon from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is just that we as insan, sometimes when we become used to something, then we don't realize the qadr and the value of it. You get certain places in the world that they call the rainforest. So if a person was standing in the sun and he had to bear the heat and the rays of the sun, and then you put him into the rainforest, now he will make qadr of that rainforest. When those wonderful showers are coming down, and he is enjoying the shade of those wonderful trees and all the greenery around him, so he will make qadr of it. But you take a person who is living in that rainforest, so sometimes after a while he will start complaining about that rainforest. So in the same way, sometimes a ni'mat that is there with us, we tend to overlook and we don't make qadr of it as we ought to make qadr. So this is a very, very great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whichever Shaykh Kamil it may be, whichever great alim it may be, but if we have to be blessed with the suhbat and the companionship of that great alim, then we must make a lot of qadr. We must really, really value this. And I don't have to explain our Shaykh Hazrat Muhammad Patel Sahib Dan Barakatuh, who is the imam of this masjid, you yourselves are witness to what a wonderful, what a great Shaykh, And what a person who has made deen so practical and who shows us in a practical way what our deen is really supposed to be. So we must take lot of benefit from Hazrat, and we must make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah Pak grant Hazrat a long life, grant him puri shifa, and give us the tawfiq to benefit, give us the tawfiq to spend time with Hazrat, give us the tawfiq to benefit and to make amal on his teachings, and also the teachings of all our other mashayikh and our other ulama. The ayat kareema that I have recited at the beginning, many of you or all of us, alhamdulillah, know this surah, Suratul Asr. But this surah, I don't intend to go into a tafsir of it. But very, very briefly, in the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath. Allah Pak takes a qasam on time. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Mankind is at a loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Except those people who have brought iman and they do good deeds. And the ayat goes on, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. We're just going to touch on the first two, iman and amal salih. The hadith sharif that I read before you, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that there are two ni'mats, ni'matani maghbunun fihima kathirun minan nas. There are two ni'mats, there are two bounties that most people, many, many people, in fact most people are in a deception with regards to these two ni'mats. Most people are in a deception. And if we have to talk in business terms, then we will say that most people are taking a knock with regards to these two commodities. And what are these two commodities? What are these two ni'mats? The one, Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, as-sihha, good health. And the second one, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, wal-faragh, free time, time that we have on our hands. Now if we go to the surah, in this surah we are being told that insan, mankind is at a loss. Except those who have brought iman and they do good deeds. And as I said, the ayat continues. And in this hadith sharif, we are being told that mankind is in a deception with regards to two ni'mats. Good health and free time. A person has to have time to do good deeds. If he doesn't have time, he cannot bring iman. Somebody who hasn't been given hayati, somebody who doesn't have life, he cannot bring iman. A person has to have life to bring iman. Life is time. And then also with this time, we can do good deeds. If we don't have time, we cannot do good deeds. Once a person passes away, if a person is lying in the qabr for 1,000 years, the person is just lying in the qabr, so much of time is going by, but he doesn't have hayati, he doesn't have time, he cannot even read 2 rakats of nafal namaz, he cannot make any zikr, he cannot go for any umrah, he can be lying in Jannatul Baqi, he cannot go and make ziyarat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he can be lying in Jannatul Mala, he cannot go and make 1 tawaf of the Baytullah. To do all this, he requires time, he requires hayati. So iman and amal salih, to do these things, we require life, we require time. And with this time, we require good health. So many times, if a person has to go to the hospitals, and we see so many people, sometime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we hear from our shaykh all the time, That sickness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes is using it to elevate the person, to wash the person, cleanse the person before he departs from the dunya. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got such a high darja for him in the akhirat, which he cannot earn and attain through his amal. So Allah Pak puts some type of test on the person so that he can attain those high darajat in Jannat. So we are not going into that. What we are trying to understand is that when a person is not well, a person is lying in hospital, he may be in traction, He may have some tubes attached to him. He may be on the operating table. What a'mal salih can this person now do? While the person is lying in the hospital just after an operation, he may have such intentions. He wants to do so many good things, but he can't really do much. He can't really do anything. So this good health and free time is two things that we require for iman and amal salih, to do these good deeds. Now if we have to look into the life of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam utilized these ni'mats, these bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such an extent that in a short period of just 23 years, that too 13 of those years spent in Makkah Sharif under persecution, torture, so much of troubles, and then from those 13 years in Makkah Sharif, 3 years spent under boycott in the valley of Abu Talib, with all this, with all the opposition, with everything against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we see how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam utilized these two ni'mats, the siha and his time, that in a short span of 23 years, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed the ideology of a people, changed the religion of a people, took the people out of darkness, brought the people into light, took the people out of idol worship, brought the people onto Tawheed. And not only that, the effort was so deep that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam left such a legacy, such a work after him, that we find in a few years, just in the zamana of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, 2/3 of the then known world come under Muslim rule. And up to today, never have we found that the numbers of the Muslims are decreasing. Even today, with all the opposition, with all whatever is in the media, whatever is being written against Islam, against Muslims, however Muslims are being stereotyped, up to today, if we have to check, the numbers of Muslims are increasing. This was the qurbani, the mehnat, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made in his hayati. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his entire day, he had so many responsibilities, so many responsibilities. But with all that, when he came home, he still found time for his wives. He still found time to do household duties. He still found time for those who were very, very close to him, etc., etc. Now there is so much to be spoken with regards to how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam utilized his time. But we don't have time. So khair, if we go on to the zamana, we take Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, in his zamana while he was the Khalifa. Now those of us that have read up a little bit of history, we will know what was happening when Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala became the Khalifa. So many different problems, the false prophets, people were turning renegade. There were so many things that he had to contend with, so many things that he had to do. But with all this, look at how they used their time. There was one elderly lady, you may have heard this also, but we make muzakara of this incident. There was an elderly sahabiya, radiallahu ta'ala anha, who used to live on the outskirts of Medina Sharif. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and he is thinking that in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we used to make khidmat of this old lady, this old mother of ours. Now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is no more. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and he is so engrossed in his duties. Let me take this opportunity to gain the sawab and make the khidmat of this mother of ours. She was an elderly lady. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and he goes out, he goes to this lady's house. And when he gets there, he asks her that what khidmat can I make for you, etc. So she says to him that somebody has already come and has already taken care of everything, has already cleaned the house, brought the water from the well, made sure that she is taken care of. So this happened on 2-3 occasions. Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, He says that I need to know who this person is. Who is this banda of Allah who is coming before me? No matter how early I come, he is always beating me. Who is this banda of Allah? I need to come and see. So he waits in the pathway leading to this lady's house. He spends many hours there waiting to see who is this person. And then in the early parts of the morning, he sees a person coming. This person is covered. He's got his shawl or his scarf over him. And he is walking and he is going towards the house. So when he passes Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala grabs hold of him and he turns him around and he sees it is Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Now being the Khalifa, having so many responsibilities, so many things to do, but he still found the time to go and make the khidmat of that mother. So how they utilize their time? And then if we have to go into the zamana of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, then so many times we have heard. Now imagine ruling over an empire, 2/3 of the then known world, but still worrying about the little things, still taking a walk at night through the gullies of Medina Sharif, seeing if anybody has got any problem, and then the ones where he finds that family, where the mother, the lady of that family is in the family way, and she is about giving birth, then he rushes home, brings his family. So they had time for all those things. Today, we are just running one business, got one little home to see to, or holding one job, or our little profession, and we don't have time for anything. So it is not that we don't have time for anything. We are not utilizing our time properly. We are spending our time in so many useless things. Things that will not assist us in our dunya also. Forget assisting us in our deen. Even dunya also it won't assist us. You take a person who is cricket crazy. He will spend the whole day looking at one tube. Few people hitting one ball and running around. All those hours. So many hours go by. He could have used all that time profitably. Our mashayikh, who are in our midst, if we just see how they use their time, how come they are able to accomplish so much in their lifespans? Sometimes their lifespans are even shorter than ours. But they are able to accomplish so much. If we take Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he has written kitabs. Nobody even knows exactly how many kitabs he has written. Some say over 1,000 kitabs. And he has written kitabs on every subject in deen. Every branch, every subject, different subjects. It wasn't like he lived for 500, 600 years. He had a normal lifespan. But we find that they use their time profitably. Our Shaykh, Azman Ispatel Samdhan Barakatum, I remember once when Hazrat was not well, just after going for the bypass, etc. And Allah Pak made it that we were there at the house when he was just starting to recover, feeling a little bit better. And it was nearly Maghrib time. And that was the first salah that Hazrat came for after his bypass. The Maghrib salah, he came to the masjid after the bypass. So it just so happened that I was there, Allah Pak made it like that. And Hazrat said, okay, take me to the masjid. So we came to the masjid, but I remember clearly, he sat down in the car, just coming from home to the masjid. He sat down in the car, the first thing, he read all his traveling duas. Just from home to the masjid, we don't even consider it a safar. We don't consider it a journey. But he sat down in the car, he read his traveling duas. And then from the house to the car, there may have been one or two things that Hazrat asked, but the balance of the time, he was engaged in zikr. He was making zikrullah. Last year, I think it was last year in the Bukhari Khatam, in Spingo Beach, Tadimuddin, so one Abdul Hafiz Makki Sahib was there. So he mentioned the Hadith Sharif, that the people of Jannat, when they are in Jannat and they see all the boons and the different ni'mats in Jannat, etc., so they will only regret one thing. They will regret the time that they didn't utilize to make the zikr of Allah. So one Abdul Rafi Saab asked a question. He says that why will they regret the time that they didn't use for zikrullah? Why not for salah? Why not for umrah? Why not for hajj? Why for the zikr of Allah? And then he went on to explain. He says because the zikr of Allah is such an easy thing to do. If a person wants to go for umrah, he wants to go for hajj, there is so many formalities, so many things he has to do. Not everybody can do it. But the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether we're sitting in traffic, we are stuck at a roadblock, we are standing in a queue, instead of losing our head, fighting, these government departments are gone like this and like that, making panchayat, getting involved in ghibat, we can stand there and make the zikr of Allah. So at all times, every moment, we can use it profitably. And then there are so many other things that we can do, especially now, in this holiday period. Today is the first of Muharram. Time is going by. There will be a maut for every individual. We will pass away and then there won't be any time left for us. And then there will be a time when there won't be any time left for this dunya also. That will be Qiyamah. How long we're going to live, we don't know. Our Hazrat always sings that couplet. That this visa of life is very, very strange. The visa of life is very, very strange. When the time limit of this visa is going to get cut, nobody knows. And we cannot even ask for an increase in the time. We can't ask that now we want little more time. So each and every one of us, especially in this December holiday time, shaitan and his agents, the kuffar, etc., they will be inviting to different things. But we are mu'mineen, we are believers, we are the ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As this Muharram has come, remember, the dunya has got 1 year less for Qiyamah. As every day is moving, every second is moving, we have got 1 second less of life, 1 month less of life, 1 year less of life. So this sihat that we have, this good health and this free time, especially in this holiday season, let us use it profitably. If we cannot be like our mashayikh, we cannot write kitabs, we cannot spend too much of time in ibadat, we are weak, etc. But at least, let us not use the time in guna. Let us not go to places of sin. Let us not go to places of fitna. And let us not use the time for guna. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me tawfiq, give you tawfiq, and grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.